a buzz in the air. I think I know why. Tomorrow's spring break. Yeah! I know the Gwinnett County teachers in the room and the students are excited about that. You guys have had a long haul this semester, I know, with all the snow, and congratulations on getting through it. It's been several days in a row. Okay, so now we can sit tight and just a little while longer and use this time to focus on what God wants us to learn tonight. So let's start with a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the body of believers, God. Thank you so much for my friends and my sisters here in the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett, God. I would be nowhere without them, God. And I thank you so much for the special things that we've shared over the years and that we continue to share, God. And I thank you that we can be together tonight, God, and look at your word. Father, we pray for those who are sick. Father, I know the Beckers are all down with something. And I pray that you would help them to improve, help them to be encouraged, take care tonight, God, and be with other people who couldn't be with us tonight. Father, we pray so much for our brothers and sisters overseas who are in situations we can't even imagine, God. Thank you so much for the freedom we have here. Thank you that we have a place to worship, that we have a roof over our heads to go home to, that we don't have to fear being attacked in our homes, God. And Father, thank you for the security you give us through your Spirit. Father, we love you and pray that tonight would be just what everyone needs, God. Please speak through me. Help me to get out of the way. Help me to have your Spirit to speak with the things that are on my heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, the title for my class tonight is, Are You Spiritually Fit? Mentioned Marissa Bell. She was going to join me and teach the class with me tonight, the first part of the class, actually. But there's just no way. She has swollen lymph nodes. She can barely talk. She can barely swallow. So she needs to stay put. And so I'm going to try to relay her heart and mine. Actually, the topic for this class was her idea. And this was really a joint effort between the two of us. So I am really sorry she can't be here. But we'll just go forward. You know, what does your life look like to you tonight? Are you like a juggler who has all that, the professional jugglers have all that concentration going on. They can just concentrate and they are just so graceful and they can just keep things spinning. Or do those balls kind of topple down one after the other all around you? Or is your life kind of a beautiful symphony? Or is it just annoying noise at times? You know, all of us desire to live a balanced life. We desire to have fulfillment, harmony, peace. We want to enjoy our life. We want to be confident. We want to be secure. And we want to take care of many things all the time. You know, God gave us that special talent as women. Or some of us might call it the M word, multitasking. You know, we can wear many hats. And a lot of times we put on many hats. We do that to ourselves, I think. And think about many things at once. You know, a lot of us can vacuum the carpet and plan our weekly meals at the same time. We can talk on the phone to a sister while we're folding our laundry. You know, that's a good thing to be able to do when you got lots going on. Teens, you guys are juggling all kinds of things all the time. You've got homework, you've got school, you've got chores around the house, you've got sports, you've got your church activities, you've got extracurricular things. And I commend you for that. That's awesome. And we want everyone around us to be taken care of. You know, we want our husbands to feel great. We want our kids to be doing well. We want our friends at church to have, you know, the attention that they need. All of this is important. What we need to do is find the balance. You know, Steve reminded me of the Karate Kid today. You know, you remember how Mr. Miyagi tried so hard to teach Daniel how to have balance. You must have balance. You know, show me sand the floor, he said, and show me wax on, wax off. And Daniel got so mad at him. He got so frustrated. He's like, why aren't you teaching me anything? And he had to, but it was important for Mr. Miyagi to teach him the basics first and to teach him do all that before he could perform the moves that he wanted to and be successful. And he had to have peace overall. He had to have balance. And slowly but surely he got it, you know. So where do we find that balance? It's only in God. You got to stay connected to him and trust in him. You know, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So turn over to Luke 2. This is going to be our text tonight. And it's just a little bit of an introduction to what we're going to be talking about, spiritual fitness. Jesus, you know, is our ultimate role model here for how we need to live our lives and how we can be balanced and then how we can, from there, go on and really have spiritual fitness. So over in chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, we're going to read from verse 20 down to 52. Verse 40. Luke 2, verse 40 says, talking about Jesus, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. When they began to looking for him among their relatives and their friends, then they began to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why are you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I want to talk about three areas tonight that lead us to spiritual fitness. And the first area is discipline. From this passage, we can see that Jesus' relationship with God was very obvious. Even at 12 years old, you know, the teachers of the law noticed him. They were amazed at his understanding of the scriptures, it says. He desired to stay in Jerusalem to learn about God instead of going home with his family. You know, I believe that also that Joseph and Mary had a lot to do with this. I mean, you know, Jesus was God, but he also had to be trained on as a boy. He had to mature. He had to grow. And Joseph, he must have spent many hours teaching him from the law. You know, I really respect that. As I admire Joseph and how he must have spent, you know, a lot of time imparting his own devotion to the law, to Jesus. So Jesus naturally grew in wisdom. He also grew in favor with God and men. You know, how it must have pleased God to see his son devoted to the scriptures like that. And, in his ministry, he quoted scripture all the time. He knew it. He had it down. And, you know, how cool it must have been to see, just have been around him. People must have loved that. So he was very much in favor with God and men. He must have been a great friend. And he must have been kind and compassionate and personable and understanding, everything you'd want to be with a friend. Jesus was also continually in prayer. Luke 5:16 says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." You know, other scriptures note him, and there's lots of them that note him in prayer, off by himself. Mark 1:35 is one. Mark 6:46, Luke 6:12. There's several others you can look at. Jesus knew that the source of his strength was God, and this strength made it possible for him to be obedient to God even to death. So here it was, he was disciplined. He was disciplined in making sure that he was connected to God in prayer and in reading the scriptures. That's where it started. That's where he got his balance. So how's this going for you? Are you disciplined in your prayer and Bible study? You know, as a young Christian, I was a young nurse, and I was single, and so I'd have days off during the week. You know, I work every other weekend, so there was these days, and I would think, okay, great, on my days off, you know, I'll get some things done, and in the afternoon I can have this long block of time to be with God. Well, that never worked. You know, the phone would ring, or I'd get involved in other things. I'd get distracted, and so it just would never happen. And I had to learn really quickly that first thing in the day, no matter if I was off or I was working, I need to get with God. And it was very obvious to me that that's how it was going to have to work for me. And so that habit, I started having that, and I'm still doing it. And I mean, not every day, you know, things obviously, almost every day though, I am with God in the morning. And that's been in the habit, that habit's been in place for like, for 25 years, I'm happy to say. So discipline is the first step, I think, in becoming spiritually fit. And the next one I want to talk about is maturity. Let's look back at our text in Luke 2:52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He grew in wisdom and stature, it says. In other words, he matured. So as disciples of Jesus, that's what we have to do too. We have to mature and we have to keep growing. You know, it really does follow from discipline that we talked about before. In many areas of our lives, you know, we kind of reach that plateau where we become bored or frustrated or discouraged. You know, like exercise, since this is fitness class, I'm going to make some exercise analogies. We might do well for a while. You know, we'll get into a little bit of a routine. We'll start seeing results. And then, you know, it becomes too routine. So it's no longer fun and whatever. You know, we're not seeing the results we want. Or we get sick or something happens, whatever. And we're tempted to quit, you know. What we need to do then is kind of reevaluate. Well, this didn't work for me, you know, or maybe I need a partner. Maybe I need something to kind of help me get back into it. We switch it around. Maybe I need to try something different here. And then push on ahead to achieve the goals that we started out wanting to do. And so this is really true spiritually also. The Bible speaks about this a lot. You know, over in Hebrews 5, verse 11 and following, the author exhorts us to go on to maturity, to eat solid food, instead of remaining on infant's milk. So how does that translate for us? What does that mean? You know, look around. Have you noticed on Sundays and Thursdays, our church is growing. It is really taking off. It's exciting. I mean, think about, you know, the beginning of the year, all these non-Christians that came up and shared how they found God last year. It was great. And then recently we had Millie and we had Dina that are added to the kingdom. And that's just so great. But, you know, to see this happen, it takes a lot of prayer. I know it takes a lot of hard work to see these people ready to make that decision, to help them. And, you know, I really want to lift up Sarah because I really appreciate how she has the heart for this. And what I mean is she wants these women to become Christians. She really has had a heart for the campus ministry and has helped them a lot. But she also wants to see other women trained to study the Bible with their friends. She can't do it all, you know. So what she's done, you know, in studying the Bible with the campus students especially, is she's pulled in other sisters. And she has trained them, like Teresa and Mary Joy. They're now trained, and they know what to do to help people make their decisions to be disciples. You know, any of us should feel confident to get in there and study the Bible with people, at least the first three studies. And we all have the Holy Spirit and God's help and prayer and our scriptures. We can do this. You know, that's a great way to start maturing in your faith. You know, ask around in your family group. I bet this week you could find a study to get in on. Just ask. You know, Marissa Bell could put you to work. My goodness. These young ladies are excited about studying the Bible, the young teenagers. You know, Chandra could put you to work also, I bet. And so could Lisa Washington. So could Sheila Hayes. So, and this is just a great thing to get involved in because it forces us to get out of ourselves, doesn't it? It forces us to think about other people and flex our spiritual muscles because we got to think on how to apply help these women learn how to apply the scriptures. It's convicting to us to be in on the studies again and to see the word come to life. You know, speaking of Marissa Bell, I have another suggestion. The young ladies that are teens are all encouraged to find a mentor in the church. And someone they can go to regularly for advice and teaching, kind of like a discipling partner. And that's a great thing to get involved in. It's so fun, you know, to see them excited about their faith. So that's another thing you can think and pray about. And it will really help the church. It will really help our team ministry and grow, continue to grow. So So ask yourself tonight, you know, in what ways do you need to become more spiritually mature? Now, let's go over to Luke 8. I'm going to switch gears a little bit here. Still talk about maturity. You know, I love hearing success stories, don't you? That's kind of my, one of the things that inspires me more than anything. You know, I've never watched The Biggest Loser, but I hear that it is just incredible, so moving, so inspiring to hear the success stories there. I love sports, too. I'm not athletic. I don't play any sports, but I love to watch my team. I love to cheer them on. I was watching the first Braves game this afternoon. Woo-hoo! Our family loves baseball, always have. And then there's the Olympics. Oh, my goodness. My family knows that I love the Olympics. I love to read about the athletes and what they've been through and to get there and to hear them, all the hard work they go through. It's very, very convicting to hear the sacrifices they make. You know, that takes a lot of guts and hard work to do that. You know, you have to really, I mean, you have to be stellar, beyond stellar to make the Olympics. And often, these athletes have a lot of setbacks along the way. You hear about injuries. You hear about personal tragedies. They might be thinking, oh, I'll never be good enough to do this. Or they might just miss it, you know, by that much. And then work, you know, next thing you know, the next Olympics comes around and they're trying it again, you know. They just might be tempted to give up. But let's think about this spiritually and look at Jesus' words in this chapter. Down in Luke 8, Jesus tells us about the parable of the sower. And we've heard this parable many, many times. But I want to look down in verse 14 and 15. Towards the end of the parable, Jesus tells us, "The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." We're going to get to that in a little bit. You know, we can get off track in our spiritual journey, can't we? What does Jesus say gets us off track? He says it's life's worries, riches, and pleasures. These things prevent us from being mature. These are kind of our spiritual injuries that we can run into. So are you off track tonight? Are you weighed down with worry? Maybe you're worried about your finances, your marriage, your kids, your future. We can't possibly be focusing our minds and hearts on spiritual growth when these things constantly are plaguing our thoughts, you know? Just kind of stunts our growth. And then what about riches? Is the world starting to look good again? Are we tempted with that? Envious? Be greedy? Is that getting in there? Or maybe it's worldly pleasures. Is there a sin that's starting to creep in there? It's starting to dog you even. You know, I think about our free time. You know, maybe it's spent, well, some of you laugh, what free time, huh? But, you know, we can. These days it doesn't take but a second to check on the internet what's going on. Or to, you know, catch up on Facebook or this and that. You know, maybe you spend your free time watching TV. Or it can be the internet, like I said. Or maybe it's music. Or movies or hobbies, and there's nothing wrong with any of these things at all. But watch out. You know, Satan is really tricky. He wants us to think that we need these things so that we can be maybe more well-rounded. You know, I want to pursue all these interests or something. Or relaxed, you know. Let's just unwind. Or improve ourselves, you know. And the danger is they can lead us into sin. You know, it can be immorality, it can be impurity, debauchery, greed, envy, laziness, it can take us down that road. And the Bible says here we will not mature. So, you know, it's really double-edged sword here. You got to be very, very careful. And let me show you what I believe is a key scripture. You know, back in Hebrews 5, the passage I was referring to earlier about going on to maturity, verse 14 says, "But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." We have to really, really be trained, really know ourselves, yeah, I can participate in that, but I can't do this much. You know, learning how to set limits. That just takes getting advice a lot of times. Really knowing yourselves, really depending on the scriptures that can help you through that. Okay, so we have the discipline, and we have maturity. And we're going to go back to Luke 8 here in a second, but are you noticing a process here? You know, we center our lives around God, and we develop the same habits that Jesus did with prayer and Bible study, mainly, as he did, and he stayed close to his Father. Then we go on to maturity in our faith. Now, back on verse 15, we'll read it again. But the seed on good soil stands for those who, with a noble heart, noble and good heart, who bear who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. The third area of our lives I want to talk about here is perseverance. Several other translations use the word patience here. And the Greek word actually means cheerful or hopeful endurance. So it really is a patient kind of plodding on. We're going to keep going here. And it takes patience, you know, to come back from an injury, doesn't it? Lydia, it takes patience to come back from injuries, doesn't it? And Allison Lynn has been through a lot of injuries, too. You know, over the last year, I've had these annoying little injuries with my feet and my legs and my shoulder. And anyway, it's been very frustrating. I've gone to doctors and a physical therapist even. I've had to listen to them and kind of, because I really do want to stay in shape. It's very important to me. Exercise is something that I enjoy. But I've had to switch things around, you know, to try to stay that way. And I'm not completely healed, but I'm fighting to find what works. Got to stay in there. And all the more importantly, we have to do this spiritually. The Bible is full of passages that encourage us to persevere. And you probably know, I've heard of several of them. We won't look at these now, but I'll give them to you to look at later. See, I look at Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, and James 1, 2 through 4. You know, God knew that we were going to hit these rough spots. You know, that he wants us to come through them with wisdom and the ability to encourage others when they hit the same kind of rough spots. You know, I think for me, probably the roughest time I've ever had as a disciple was when I lost my mother almost 11 years ago. And I remember talking to Roxanne, and it was probably about a year and a half after her mother died. And I started feeling bad because it brought up a lot of, you know, brought a lot of tears. It brought a lot of pain as she kind of relived it herself. I felt, oh, I'm sorry I have to bring this up. And she's like, look, I did not go through this just for me, you know. God wants me to help use this to help other people. And I'll never forget that and how much that helped me and how much I was like, oh, you're right. This is one day I'm going to be able to help other people. And that was true. You know, I feel like at least I know something about grief now, whereas before I didn't. And everybody will go through that. But we've got to go through these things and see what we can learn through them too and really persevere. And you probably noticed that the scriptures also liken our Christian life to a race. You know, Acts 20, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 26 are just a couple of scriptures that talk about the race and how you know, Paul's description of it. But let's look in Hebrews 12. And you guys are very, very familiar with this too, I'm sure. And this, again, describes our life as Christians in a race. And just imagine for a second, that you're in an athletic contest in a stadium somewhere. For some of us, including me, this takes a lot of imagination because I'm not very athletic. I can't stand running, as a matter of fact. But others of us know what that's like, right, Sandra? And Olivia, you guys race. Let's look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We love that scripture, don't we? You know, our Christian life is a long-distance race, not a sprint. It's a marathon. And as long as we're on this earth, we are still in it. And again, I love the scripture because it brings us back to Jesus. He's our model. Remember all that he suffered for us. He was tempted in every way. He could have shut down and not cry out to God, you know, just kind of sucked it up. He could have retaliated. He could have justified himself. You know, all of that to just relieve himself from the agony that he was going through. But in the end, he endured the cross and won the victory for us. Amen. He crossed the finish line, didn't he? Yeah. And now he wants us to do that too. He's cheering us on in heaven, you know. Now go down to verse 12 and verse 13. We're going to close out here in a second. It says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. You know, we're all in different places tonight. You know, some of us may be very feeble, and that's okay. You know, some of us may have just faced a huge disappointment in our lives. You know, maybe it's the death of a loved one or something very, very hard. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you're just getting started with your walk with God. Or maybe you're like Millie and Dina, who are fresh out of the water baptism and ready to go. You know, we got people in every kind of situation. But all that matters is that you're in the race. You know, we can clear out the briars. You know, on those cross-country courses, sometimes they've got things you've got to get around and clear out of the way so that you can have a straight course forward. And that's what it's telling us to do. You know, just make those level paths. Don't go to the right or the left. Just go on. Just go forward. Stay in it. Don't allow fear or cynicism or whatever it is to keep you on the sidelines. You know, God wants us healed and not disabled. You know, he wants us to be strong and be in the race. Stay in the race. You know, don't you want to be strong spiritually? You know, and be physically, spiritually fit. You know, spiritually strong. I've been real inspired lately by this new song by Mandisa. I don't know if any of you heard it. It's called Stronger. And I thought I'd play that tonight as we close out. Because wherever we are, we can remember Jesus, we can get in the race, and we can finish it strong for him. So listen to this song and be encouraged tonight.